Well, this is, I think this is the fourth week that I've talked about this. We had 1 week of interruption, but we've been talking about the amazing promises that come from Psalm 91. Amazing promises. Promises that make us ask the question, because we read those things and it seems so much outside of the norm that it raises the question, do those promises still apply to me today? That's the question we've been looking at. And of course, the answer is yes, those promises do apply to us. And some of the things that we've seen is we've seen what it is to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. And how when we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, there's that peace and protection. But we've also seen that in that shadow of the Almighty, that we advance in Him. We advance under His wings. And we advance under His pinions, His flight feathers. He protects us and we advance and we move in His kingdom. We also saw, I think from the second week, we saw that Psalm 91 is very commonly a soldier's psalm. Because historically, we see that there's so many soldiers throughout history that have stood on the promises of Psalm 91 when they were faced with battle. And they experienced supernatural results because they stood on Psalm 91 and they believed those promises. And we also came to realize that we are soldiers serving Jesus. And so we can stand on all those promises as well. All those promises in Psalm 91, we as His soldiers, we can stand on those promises and see supernatural deliverance and supernatural victory in our lives. Hopefully by now we've also come to understand that even if we would see 10,000 fall at our side, we would know that we alone would be delivered to a place of safety because we stood on and believed the promises of Psalm 91. We saw last week how important it is for us to speak and say out loud all of those promises of Psalm 91, to speak them over our lives and our situations and over our families as well. Speak those promises. And we speak them in the same way that the psalm writer did. He made it personal. Speak it. He said, I will say of the Lord. And then he spoke all of those promises. Make it personal. Speak all of those promises. And then last week, we also saw that God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. But we also took note of the fact that he didn't deliver Daniel from the lion's den experience. Just as it was with Daniel, the hidden traps of the enemy cannot contain you. Because you and I, we have the deliverance in Jesus Christ. So we can turn all of those traps around. And we're expected to turn those traps around to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ as we experience all of those victories that He has for us. So we've gone through the first, all of that. We learned all of that just in those first four verses and in verse number 7. That's a lot that we've learned in five different verses. So what I want to do today is let's look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 of Psalm 91 says this. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day. You shall not be afraid. That is a definitive promise that God has for you. You shall not be afraid. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and the enemy does have traps. But we are not to be ensnared by those. As we saw last week, we can walk right out of all of those snares in faith. We can walk right out of those traps. They cannot contain us. Now, if I believe that, what have I to fear in this life? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing. You shall not fear. What is it that the enemy is trying to stir in your mind? What is he trying to stir in your life to cause you to fear? You shall not fear. A definitive promise that God has for you and I. This is His promise for us. You know, it says specifically that we are not to fear the terror by night. Things always look a whole lot worse at nighttime, don't they? Things always look and feel worse at nighttime. They always seem like things are working in the darkness of night. But you and I, we don't operate in the night season. We don't operate in darkness. Look at what God tells us. This is what's spoken to us through Paul. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to read verses 4 and 5, and I'm going to show it to you in the Amplified Bible. But you are not in, given to the power of darkness. So you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. We don't operate in the darkness. We do not belong to the night. And so when the darkness begins to overtake you, or the darkness tries to overtake you, you can rebuke it. You and I have the power and the authority. When darkness tries to overtake it, rebuke us, or rebuke it. When the enemy's trap, his hidden traps as we saw before, when the enemy's hidden traps are sprung, you need not be afraid of those. Because when the enemy's traps are sprung upon you, the darkness cannot overtake you. The darkness does not have a hold on you because you are a child. You are a son and a daughter of the light. When trouble comes in your life, it's going to come. We live in a fallen world. When trouble comes, the darkness does not have the right to overtake you. When trouble comes, the darkness does not have the right to overtake you. So do not let it overtake you. With that knowledge, what have we to fear in this life? Nothing. Nothing to fear. So what is the terror by night? Well, by definition, that means a dreadful fear, and it also means a sudden alarm, listen to this, a sudden alarm with corresponding feelings of fear. The terror by night is a dreadful fear, but it's that alarm that comes with corresponding feelings of fear. Fear is nothing more. We've talked about this before. Fear is nothing more than just feelings. And it's feelings based upon the lies of the enemy. Fear is not reality. So when we yield, when we give ourselves over to that fear, to that dread, when we yield to that, we actually move ourselves out from under the protection, from under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we need to stay. Now let's go back to Daniel for just a second. We saw, remember last time with Daniel. I'm not going to review that whole thing, but you know the story of Daniel. The enemies of Daniel, they set a trap for Daniel. And that trap led to the lion's den. But faith turned that trap around, right? They had a plot and they had a plan to put Daniel in the lion's den, to destroy him. But faith turned that trap around. Listen, the enemy has traps, hidden traps that he lays before us. But we have in Jesus Christ and in the Word, we have in faith the ability to turn those traps around. And that's what happened to Daniel. Faith turned that trap around so that Daniel was supernaturally delivered. But the other great thing that came from that was that the king, King Darius, he's the king of Persia. And because of what he saw happen, King Darius said, he made a decree to all of the people under his authority, to everybody in the kingdom of Persia, which at the time was the biggest, strongest, most powerful kingdom in the known world. And Darius said, because Daniel was faithful, and Daniel's faith turned that trap around, Darius said everyone in that kingdom would honor the God of Daniel. That is turning the trap of the enemy around to the glory of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, and that's what we should expect to see in our lives. So we know that the terror by night, that word terror, we know that terror means that dreadful fear. We've all experienced that, right? We know it means that dreadful fear, and it means those emotions that accompany the dread of the night. But here's the exciting and the great thing about that. That same word that we see in that verse, that same word that we read as terror, that very same word, you find it in numerous other places in the Old Testament. And you find it in places where it shows us specifically how to turn those traps around. Just let that sink in for a second. The exact same word that we see here is terror for the terror by night. It shows up in other Old Testament verses, and it shows up in places that teach us how to turn those traps around and how to glorify God. How to turn the night, how to turn the terror of the night into the fear of the Lord so the world sees the fear of the Lord. The same word. Now, I found multiple examples of this just in the book of 2 Chronicles. I'm just going to share two with you for time's sake today to make the point. So let's look at Asa. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14, And we're going to look at verses 9 through 14. Now, by the way, in the academy, we're still working on adding some new courses. And right now, Jeff is in the middle of going through some of the kings and Asa. And I'm going to talk about Jehoshaphat in a moment. These are some of the things. So there's actually some more good teaching coming on the Terrace of Radiant from what Jeff is going to be teaching. What's it called? Kings, what is it called? Stories of Royalty and Ruin. So we'll let you know when that's all done. He's got a few more to do, and then Tony has some work to get him edited, but we've seen the ones he's done, and I'm excited about them. So, but this is Asa. So Asa is one of the ones that Jeff's going to be talking about, but for our purposes today, Asa is in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. Then Zeruah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Mareshah. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zarephath in Mareshah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God, and he said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all of the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. That word that we see in that last verse, where it says, and then they were defeated all the cities, and the fear of the Lord, that word fear is the exact same word that is used in terror. But it's turned around now. It's taking that terror of the night. There was a terror, imagine the terror of 1,000,000 men. There was a terror that was there, but it's turned around. The same word turned around to, instead of mean terror from the night, now it means fear of the Lord. What turned it around? What turned it around was the fact that Asa trusted not in the strength of the flesh, but he trusted in God, and he rested in God. Here's just one example. When you trust in God, in the strength of God, and not the strength of your own flesh or the flesh of men, and you rest in God, that turns that terror by night. It turns it around. It takes that trap of the enemy and it turns it into the fear of the Lord. Asa is a king, king of Judah, and Asa was a king who walked in the ways of the Lord. But then this 1,000,000 man, I mean, imagine that even today, let alone back then, 1,000,000 man army rises up against Asa and against Judah, small little Judah. You think that would have caused the terror of night and the accompanying fears and feelings of fear to rise up inside of Asa? But when the trap was set, when the trap was sprung against Asa and against Judah, and when fear certainly had to want to start rising up in Asa, and at that moment when typically that darkness begins to shroud the soul, Asa would not. Asa decided he would not allow the darkness and the fear to overtake him. Asa believed. Asa spoke the word. Asa put his faith and his confidence in the strength of the Lord and not in his own strength and not in Judah's strength. And he rested in the Lord. He did this and it turned the terror by night into the fear of the Lord. This is how you turn. It's the same word. You can turn the terror that the enemy means, the terror by night, you can turn it into the fear of the Lord. And it was turned into the fear of the Lord as that 1,000,000-man army was broken before the Lord and the armies of the Lord. That's awesome and exciting just in itself. But then see what the rest of that says. The rest of it tells us that Asa and all of his army, they gathered in all the spoils of the victory as well. You shall not be afraid. That's the promise. Stand and watch as the terror by night is turned around, as the traps of the enemy are turned around, so the terror by night is turned into the fear of the Lord, which the world will see. It glorifies Jesus, and you reap the spoils of victory. That's good news. That's something for us to be excited about. Amen. All right, so let's go three chapters further. Here's the second example. So this is still 2 Chronicles. This is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat has now become the king of Judah. And I love what Jehoshaphat does. Jehoshaphat sends his leaders, he sends Levites, and he sends priests. And he sends them out to teach the word of God to the people. Now look what happens when the word of God goes out. Look what happens when the word of God is spoken and taught. Look what happens when we speak the word of God, all of his promises, including the promises of Psalm 91. Here's what happens. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles. This is chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 7 through 12. I have to use glasses because these names are complex. I have to sit down because these names are complex. Verse number 7. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach the cities of Judah. And with them he sent the Levites, Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebadiah, Ashel, Shemiramoth, that one took me a long time to get, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, the Levites. Wait, there's more. And Elishama and Joram, the priests. So they taught in Judah, and they had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went throughout all the cities of Judah, and they taught the people. And the fear of the Lord, here's that word again, fear. This is the exact same word that we see in Psalm 91, verse number 5, that says terror by night. But now it's turned around. It's turning the traps of the enemy. It's turning the terror of night into the fear of the Lord. It's the same word, but it's turned around. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah. So they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents, silver as a tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. So what is it that turned around? Again, we see that same word, fear. It's the exact same word as Psalm 91, verse number 5, but it's turned around. What is it that turned it around? Well, here we see it's the word of God. The word of God sent forth and spoken turned that around. When the word of God went out, the fear of the Lord fell upon the people, upon the enemies of Judah, so that they did not, they wanted to, but so that they did not make war on Judah. So all of these nations, which previously had brought terror and had brought darkness and had brought destruction, all of these nations that wanted to bring all of that terror and fear to the people of Judah, they did not. They could not. And in fact, it's turned around. So that now they who wanted to bring terror, now they are responding to God. They're responding to their fear of the Lord, the fear, the reverence. They've seen the power of God. This is, again, turning the trap of the enemy. It's turning the terror by night. It's turning it around so that it becomes the fear of the Lord that the world gets to see. And we saw that there was a benefit when we looked at Asa. Asa collected in all those spoils. Look at what we see from Jehoshaphat. We also learned from Jehoshaphat that Jehoshaphat, it says, received the gifts and the tributes of the world, and in this he increased in power. When we will stand on the word of God, when we will speak the word of God, when we will stand in faith and do that, we will turn the traps, the hidden traps the enemy has for you, we will turn those around. So that the terror by night now becomes the fear of the Lord that the world gets to see. And here's what happens. The world sees those things. Jesus is glorified. And just like what happened with Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat got all those gifts that increased his power. When we will turn the things of the enemy around, it increases. It increases in you your understanding and your ability to operate in the power of Jesus Christ. We learn more about the promises and the power that we have in Jesus. We learn more when we will faithfully speak the word and turn those traps around. Instead of letting the traps of the enemy cause us to be hesitant and fearful, we need to take those things, recognize them, and turn them around. The world around us benefits from it because they will fear the Lord, but you get the benefit as well. You get the spoils of victory, and you get to learn how to operate into more and more of His power. So in other words, when you go through this once, guess what? The next time, you'll have learned some things, so you'll be able to operate in His power in even better ways the next time through. Both of these circumstances, now I could give you more, but both of these, I was tempted to, I looked up at the clock. But both of these things, they demonstrate to us what is spoken to us a few verses down, back in Psalm 91, verse number 8. If you look at verse number 8, Psalm 91, verse 8 says, "Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible, in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked." When Satan tries to bring his darkness, when he tries to bring all of his traps, when he tries to bring those things against you, when he tries to bring that darkness against you, stand on the Word. And then from there, in your position, from your position of safety, from your position under the shadow of the Almighty, under the protection of His wing, from your position there, you can observe the defeat of the enemy. And the world sees it as well, as Jesus is glorified. And we walk in all the benefits that He has for us. So let's go back to Psalm 91. Let's go back to verse number 5 again. So all that I've just shared, that's all been talking about the terror by night. But there's a second part of that verse, and I just want to touch on that a little bit as well. The second part of the verse talks to us or refers about the arrows that fly by the day. Here's how that reads in the Amplified Bible. So Psalm 91, verse number 5, Amplified says, "You shall not be afraid," not be afraid, "of the terror by night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day." Notice what that verse doesn't say. It doesn't say that there's not going to be any arrows. It doesn't say that there's not going to be any battles in your life. We are in spiritual warfare. And as soldiers, we go to battle. But we need not fear the battle. We need not fear the battles because we are promised protection and we're promised deliverance and victory in Jesus Christ. We need not fear those things at all. We can walk in all of His victories. So that's what it says. We're expected. There's an expectation that you and I, we will not be afraid, but instead we will advance the kingdom. Because as we are not afraid, and then we can advance the kingdom, then when the arrows begin to fly, if you've lived life at all, you know that the arrows of the enemy fly. When the arrows begin to fly, you are in the safety. You are under the shadow of the Almighty. And from there, the sender of the enemies, he cannot find you. And he cannot then get an accurate aim against you. Because you are sheltered by the buckler and the shield. We have no need to fear any of the arrows that fly by night. Now it's interesting because we get more insight on these arrows from Isaiah. So turn if you would, let's look at Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going to read three verses. Verses 23, 24, and 25. I'm going to show them to you from the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 7, 23 through 25. "And in that day, in every place where there used to be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 silver shekels, there will be briars and thorns." So you can get a picture of what's taking place. Where there used to be a place of valuable vines, vines that were worth a lot, that cost a lot. But now, that's no longer there. Instead, there's briars and thorns. "With arrows and with bows shall a man come to hunt there, because all the land will be of briars and thorns." There used to be vines. There used to be a vineyard. There used to be, you know, all the things that we would think about, which we can give another message on sometime, but all the things that are the fruit of the promises. It is all of that. It represents the blood. It's all those things. "But all that's gone, because the arrows and the bows shall a man come to hunt, because all the land is briars and thorns. And as for all the hills that were formerly cultivated with mattock and hoe, you will not go there. Why? You will not go there for fear of the briars and the thorns. Remember that. But they will become a place where oxen are let loose to pasture and where sheep tread. Now, if you recall, I touched on this last week. But it's also something I preached a message on about a year ago. We just talked about thorns and what thorns represent. And we saw that thorns, in part, give us a picture. It's an image for us of the traps that the enemy uses to ensnare us. So Isaiah is speaking about a time when the people will not till the land because of their fear of the briars and the thorns. So what's being said is the people will not till the land because of their fear of the traps of the enemy. People will not do the work of the Lord because of fear of the traps of the enemy. This fear keeps us from advancing. This fear keeps us from doing the things of God and advancing the kingdom of God. When we see the traps that ensnare others, when we see that with our eyes and we witness it, and when we sense and we're aware of the very thorns and the traps that are around us, it can make us hesitate. It can cause us to hesitate and to not advance. But that is the time. Are you getting this? That is the time when the land is suited for the hunter, the one who has the arrows. When we are not out clearing out the land, when we are not out advancing the kingdom of God, that's when the land becomes suited for the hunter, the one who has the arrows and shoots the arrows, not just at you, but at your family and at your loved ones as well. In other words, that's when the enemy has a field of destruction that he can play upon. But we have the promises of Psalm 91. We have the knowledge that we have every victory in Jesus Christ already. So we don't need to be fearful of any of the arrows of the enemy. We need not be fearful. We're under the shadow of the Almighty. We need not be afraid. But we do need to be engaged. We need to be spiritually engaged. We need to engage in spiritual warfare. We need to enforce the victories of Jesus while enforcing the defeats of the enemy. We need to make sure that we are clearing out those fields. Let's go. Let's go work those fields that are before us. Because every one of us, there are fields before us. Whether it's your coworkers, whether it's your family, or if it's the person that you see at the grocery store that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. I'll even tell you this. There's even times this morning I was getting ready. And have you ever had this? I was getting ready and all of a sudden there was just an emotion that came up in me. And it's an emotion that brought back, it's an emotion. Do you ever have memories from emotions? So it's an emotion that brought back a memory from when I was in, listen to this, when I was in fourth grade. That's the only time I remember experiencing that emotion. And it was an emotion because I developed a friendship with a boy named Tom Kama. Now, Tom, I left when I was maybe 4 years later. I've not seen or heard from or of Tom Kama since that time. But there was an attachment that I had with him. And all of a sudden this morning, out of the clear blue, I got this emotion, which took me right to Tom. And I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, you tell me what to pray for Tom. Because Tom's probably going through something in his life right now that he needs somebody to be standing for him. And so I stopped what I was doing and I just prayed and I spoke out loud and interceded for Tom. Now, I may never know in this lifetime what that was, but this is what I'm talking about. Let's clear out those fields. Let's work in the fields that are before us, because we all have fields that are before us. Let's work those fields. Clear out the briars. Clear out the thorns. Let's clear out all of those snares that the enemy has set against you, against your family, and against the people that you love. Let's clear those out. Listen, we can't plow, we can't plant, and we can't harvest until we've first cleared the fields of all the thorns from the enemy. Because that's exactly what Isaiah is referencing there. Let's clear those things out. We easily recall and quote, and they're good verses. We easily recall and quote those verses that both Isaiah and Micah speak to us. Remember this? They both say, "Let them beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's a great word. It is a great word, but we need to understand something. We need to understand that's talking about a time in the future. It's talking about a time of peace. Those verses are speaking specifically about a time of peace and specifically about a time in the future when Jesus reigns. That's not today. Those are great and powerful words, but remember them because there's another time that we get those words. We live in this fallen world. That's for a different time. We live today in the fallen world. And there's another prophet, Joel. Joel takes that exact same imagery. He speaks of the sword. He speaks of the spear. He speaks of the plowshare, and he speaks of the pruning hook. He speaks about it, though, in our time, in our day. He speaks to it in our current age. Joel speaks in Joel chapter 10, or Joel chapter 3, verse 10. We'll look at it in a second. Joel speaks specifically about those, but he's speaking about this age. He's speaking about the church age. I'm glad Don's not sitting there. I would have just spit on you if I did. He's speaking about this. I'll back up. He's speaking about the church age. He's speaking about the time when you and I, we're supposed to be operating in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. So Joel, and we'll read it in a second. So Joel, he is giving us instructions that apply to the land that Isaiah was talking about, that land of briars and that land of thorns. He's talking about the land of the briars and the lands of the thorns where the hunter's arrows fly. But in our age, in the church age, we do this. And listen to how it's different. Remember, both Micah and, did I say it right? Thank you. Both Micah and Isaiah, they both said, they shall turn their spears into plowshares and their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. But listen to what Micah says. Because Micah's not talking about the time of peace. He's not talking about the time in the future. Joel, thank you. He's not talking about the time in the future. I almost got through all that. He's not talking about the time in the future. Joel is talking about today, the church age, when you and I are operating. Here's what Joel says. Beat your plowshares into swords. This is a different time. Nobody remembers that. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. We live in spiritual warfare. There are going to be battles. We live in that time of spiritual warfare. And because there are battles, there's a different expectation that is for you and I. You are told you shall not be afraid. That's the promise of Psalm 91. But when the battles come, there's going to be battles. When the battles come, you just say, I am strong in Jesus. Darkness shall not overtake me. And I will not be contained by the traps of the enemy. But Jesus will be glorified. Clear out those briars and those thorns. Let's turn around those traps of the enemy so that there's glory in the name of Jesus, that Jesus is glorified, and that you and I, we then get to reap all the spoils of victory also. Let's turn those traps around. Jesus is glorified. You get to learn to operate in more of His power. You get the spoils of victory. Let's turn those traps around. This is a good day to be a believer. This is a day we should be excited to go out there and share these truths and live these things out. In fact, I believe that this is a time unlike any other in history. I think the Word of God, I think since the early 1900s, this is just me, I believe that since the Azusa Street Revival back in the early 1900s, I believe in that 115 or so years since that time, I believe that there has been revelation of the Word of God and there's been an understanding of the Word of God in His people unlike any other time in the history, well, at least since Jesus was here. I believe the hearts of people are understanding the Word with revelation. Because we're getting closer and closer to the end times. This is a great time to be a believer. This is a great time for you and us, for you and I, to be out there clearing out the fields, working the fields that are before us with a sense of expectation as we turn the traps around and we turn them into fear of the Lord, where the world sees the victories and the power of Jesus Christ. All that leads into the final point I want to make. So I want to conclude with this truth for you and I. And it's a truth that goes beyond the covenant that the psalm writer ever had. This is a truth that goes beyond his covenant. We are told not to be afraid of the terror by night. Now, when it talks about nighttime, this is indicative about spiritual darkness, about a lack of guidance. This is about not being able to see the spiritual truths. We are not to be afraid of the terror by night. Talking about spiritual darkness. One more prophet I got for you. So Micah, he speaks about this very thing. In Micah chapter 3, Micah says that the prophets have lost their gift of prophecy because they've abused the gift by speaking false prophecies to the people. And so this is what God says through Micah. God says to those prophets, they are in the day of darkness. The sun has gone down on them, and they have lost all spiritual insight and prophetic gifts forever. They lost them all. The prophets of God lost all spiritual insight and the gift of prophecy forever. But here's a promise for you and I that the psalm writer of Psalm 91 didn't even have himself. A promise for you and I. We have the Holy Spirit to give us every day spiritual insight. The Holy Spirit illuminates both our days and our nights. So we don't ever need to lay awake at night because of the fear or the dread or the terror by night. We have the Holy Spirit who gives us guidance as He illuminates the path before us. He illuminates our path so that we can see. We can move ahead into the day and see all of the victories that He has for us. We have that spiritual illumination. Listen, in Psalm 91, verse 5, I spent all day just on one verse. In Psalm 91, verse number 5, there's so much that is there for us to see and understand. We need to believe the promises of Psalm 91, verse number 5, so we can turn all of those terrors of the enemy, turn them around. Turn them around so it's the fear of the Lord, so that the world out there sees the fear of the Lord. They see the power of Jesus Christ through you and I. We need to see that when those arrows fly by night, the world sees the arrows cannot touch us because we are under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to know that we have the insights to see. We have the Holy Spirit to show us. We have nothing to fear, nothing to fear as we walk forward into today and tomorrow. So let's go out and work the fields that are before us. And let's clean out the briars and the thorns. Let's clean those briars and thorns out of that field because it takes away the playground for Satan. And it gives us the opportunity to take those fields that before had been. Remember, Isaiah said that they had been fields where there had been vines that were worth silver. They were valuable, but they were all gone. Let's clear out all those briars. Let's clear out all of those thorns. Let's remove the enemy's playground so that we can have planted once again that vine of Jesus Christ so that there can be that harvest in the fields around us where your friends, your family, your acquaintances, people that you might just meet tomorrow, maybe Tom Kama, maybe I hear from him and I get to lead him to the Lord. I don't know. But I have an expectation that we're going to see all that terror by night turned around, so it becomes the fear of the Lord. And the world sees His power, His faithfulness to His words through us and through our lives. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We praise You and thank You for Your word. I thank You that as we leave here today, we leave here believing every promise You have in Psalm 91. But we focus on verse number 5, and we thank You that all those things that we saw today, Holy Spirit, bring those back to our minds. Let us see it as You speak those truths to us individually so we can work those fields that are around us. You be glorified. We praise You and thank You. In Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise as we close this morning.